You are listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Please help me welcome our friend. He's been on the program before, Silas Luke Jones. Silas, welcome back to the Top of the World.
Glad to be here.
So the last time we talked, you were performing, and you have continued to perform. But one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to you again is because I figured something has changed in your world, because your social media platform, and I don't know if it's just Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, I don't know what you're on exclusively. I'll let you tell us that. But something happened. You sort of blew up and went viral. When did you first hear about that? Like, how did you notice this?
So I've been posting videos on Instagram for like every week for a long time, just kind of getting content out there. And Instagram was really easy because I can just go outside and record a video and like post it really. And I did that. I was working on an arrangement of Pirates of the Caribbean, which is one of my favorite songs. And I sat down and arranged it. I was like, oh, this is really fun. So I went out to our lake and I set up my phone and played the song and I posted it on Instagram and it started gaining traction. At the time, I only had like one video that reached 1,000 views on Instagram, and I was like, that was like my high mark. Mm-hmm. And this one instantly, like I guess a few days, hit 1,000, and I was like, oh, it's my biggest post now. And as the days went by, it kind of just started building traction. This was right before our trip to Nashville, and as I'm watching it grow, it just starts kind of rolling, and you know, followers are coming in, and eventually it just starts hitting, you know, I'm opening Instagram, I'm getting hundreds of notifications of followers, comments, and likes, and it just starts building traction right before this trip. And we take the trip, and while I'm on my adventures with my family down in Nashville and Kansas, I get over 1 million views on the post and hit 20,000 followers on Instagram, I think, at the time. And then the next day I was at 2 million views and 30,000 followers, and it hit 5 million views and wow. Kind of plateaued at 5 million views. And I was like, interesting. So I threw out some more videos. I really like keeping a diverse kind of range, and I threw them out there and they kind of gained some traction, a little bit of overflow from the big video that was going out, and nothing was really hitting. And I had another video I recorded from home that I was saving on my phone, just, you know, so I could post it while I was on this trip.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, do I post it? I wasn't super happy with it, but it was good enough. And I was like, I'm just going to post it. So I post it, and on the trip back, it hit like 20 million views.
Wow.
And
what was that song?
Phoenix Rising by Callum Graham.
It was Phoenix Rising.
Really fun song.
And anybody listening right now that has a smartphone in their hand can go to Instagram and go to Silas Luke Jones and see what they're talking about, what you're talking about. And if you haven't already followed Silas, do. You're probably going to notice about four people increase from this conversation.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's the least I could do. But what does that do to your mind? Like, you're how old? You're 18?
17.
You're 17 years old. You've seen now something you produced, put into the world, has been viewed 1 million is enough. Now 5 million and then 20 million.
Mm-hmm. It's at like
what happens in your mind? 30 million. Oh, excuse
me. Yeah.
Well, what are you thinking? Like,
well,
how do you handle that?
Yeah. I mean, I try not to let it be pressure, you know, because I feel like that's when problems start happening. What I want to do is it just made me want to produce more content that's quality, you know, like really just watch what I do. And It was a boost of confidence and also a little bit frightening, but I didn't let that really change my mindset at all. Because
has anyone approached you from a like management standpoint, like, hey, we want to manage you, I want to take you under my wing, things like that?
So on the trip to Nashville and Kansas, we kind of hit both on the way. We went to a festival and a guitar camp, and there was managers there. They really couldn't do anything until I turned 18,
right?
But they said, hey,
right,
like, contact me when you turn 18 and like let's talk about this. I'll be watching you. So there's definitely some interest in you know, possibilities in the future.
So you said you try not to think about it. Is this because you don't want it to enter your mind? You don't want it to change how you approach music or how you play or who you are? Or is it just you can't fathom it? Like, I don't even know what is 30 million. What does that even mean? Where do you think that's coming from?
Well, yeah, that's like bigger than the population of Alaska.
And by
that's
a lot.
That's what, you know. Like, for the first video, a friend of mine texted me. He's like, dude, you have more than Alaska. And I was like, Wow, I can't even really think of that. But I don't want it to change my music. You know, I still want to get better. I'm not at the place I want to be, but I'm still growing and learning new things, and that's where that's what I want to do.
And how about your ego? So okay, that's your musical style. That's you don't want to, yeah, you do stay on course, stay on track. But what about your ego? What about your, like, how do you approach that in your mind? Because I'm thinking through, like, you heard me open the program with talking about, oh, I'm from Florida. You know, the natural inclination sometimes is to put up defenses or shield our mind from something we can't process or maybe don't want to change. I mean, what if, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of ego, the biggest piece of advice I've been given by most musicians that I've ever asked is watch your heart and watch where, you know, don't let it go to your head. Mm-hmm. And that was big thing for me. It was right off the bat. I was like, don't let this go to my head. Don't worry about if I'm losing followers or if I'm gaining followers or if I'm not getting enough views. I was like, okay, I'm not going to let that affect me. And
for you.
Yeah.
In 5 years from now, where's Silas Luke Jones going to be?
Man, producing music. Hopefully on the road. I want to tour. I want to play music, play places. Mm-hmm. I want to get a lot of content out there. That's kind of where I think I'm at right now, is just producing songs that I can share and, you know, help build my career and continue building following.
There's, like, you and I are having this conversation and there's literally an audience of two. Your parents are sitting over here to my left, stage left, and but there's nothing that competes with the thrill of performing in front of a crowd, is there? Like, exactly, the feedback you get. It's hard to explain. I'm a performer. I get it. But no, seriously, what is that like for you afterwards? After a big concert? Yeah, after a performance.
Oh,
what's
man,
it like for
it's
you?
It's high energy levels. I'm just, yeah, I usually, because I like bringing a lot of energy to my shows, usually it's kind of like, it starts out as like nervousness or excitement, you know, and then I try keeping that without losing it and then bringing it to my show and just letting it go. Usually it's like just energy. I just love going out meeting people and talking and, you know, hearing how they liked it. And then usually I crash about two hours later and I'm like, oh, I need to go to bed. I'm so tired.
Right. Yeah. And there's something about if the crowd's... Well, sometimes when I'm talking to people about public speaking, because that's kind of my jam. I love to do public speaking. Some people are deathly afraid of it. I love to get... I don't want to necessarily be in the crowd, but if you put me up there with a mic, that's where I'm happiest. Yeah. Okay. What I always tell people is, if I'm helping train people in that, is that the crowd wants you to succeed. Yeah. The people want you to succeed. I mean, do you feel that, like, when you're performing, the crowd is like energized with you and for you?
Yeah. They're not watching you for your mistakes, right? So if you make a mistake and you focus and you dwell on that and you're like, oh, sorry guys, because, like, I've watched people who have done that, when, you know, when they make a mistake, they stop and they're like, oh, sorry, you know, and it's a little bit uncomfortable in the audience, right? If you just embrace it and you're like, oops, I broke a string, I'm gonna keep playing. Usually I'll let the audience know if, like, something like that happens, which it does quite often. You know, something will break and I'm like, oops, I'm gonna keep going, you know, I'm gonna and, you know, make it fun, you know, make it that it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, good for you. Talking here with Silas Luke Jones. You can find him on Instagram, Facebook, other platform?
YouTube. All the streaming platforms. Okay. I got two songs out.
If you were to send people, like, what's your preference? Instagram?
Yeah, probably Instagram. That's my biggest right now. Okay. And from there, there's a link that you can go to my website.
So people like your parents' age, my age, we're on Facebook still.
Yeah. I still post everything to Facebook that I post on YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that's gotten to, like, oh, the young people are on Instagram, but, you know, we will find you.
Yeah.
Silas Luke Jones. Here he is with Punkified. We'll be right back. There it is. That's Silas Luke Jones winning Alaskans Got Talent there in 2021 with Funkified. I said Punkified. I'm the punk. It's Funkified. You're at some point, I remember when we spoke the first time, Silas, you talked about picking up the guitar when? When you're like 14, 15?
10.
Oh, 10 years old. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I got my first guitar. Actually, I got my first guitar when I was 8 for Christmas from mom and dad. And I didn't really like take lessons or play it for 2 years. And then when I was 10, we took lessons and I was like, started playing.
Right. You just procrastinated. It's okay. It happens. It happens to all virtuosos at some point. But not just everybody can pick up. I mean, there's something I just read this morning in a book called Think and Grow Rich, which was written in 1936. I suggest everybody get a copy. It should be in your library. And Napoleon Hill talks about if you have a desire for something, you'll have the talent. So it's like, in other words, a friend of mine, his son went into art school and he's not thrilled about it. He's like, he wants him to go into a school that will get him a job and a career. And he goes, I mean, I wanted to play baseball when I was a kid, but obviously I couldn't and didn't. And I said, yeah, but you really didn't have a desire, right? I mean, you didn't have a burning desire to be a baseball player, or you would be in the field somehow. You would be in it. But you have this desire to perform and you've gotten this God-given talent. But obviously with it comes a lot of practice. How much time do you spend a day practicing?
Well, 4 hours is easy.
Wow.
For me. You know, some days easy? I do.
Like you could, without sweating, you'll do 4 hours?
Without sweating, okay. I could just sit down and do 4 hours. It kind of changes, you know, with seasons. Winter months, I can, you know, do way more. Mm-hmm. I have to balance it with school. Usually I'll do school for 15 minutes, go downstairs, play guitar for 30 minutes, go back upstairs, do 15 minutes. You know, and just kind of this all day back and forth. And that's what funny. I found productive for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not productive to play 4 hours. Sometimes you're just like, man, I need to take a break and I'll go do something else. I'll go play a different instrument or I'll go do music editing, you know, like with a software or something and just like experiment, you know.
Do you know who Eddie Van Halen was?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So it was said of him that a roommate, I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was somebody in their band. I think it was somebody else. And they said, I was roommating with Eddie Van Halen and we'd all be saying, hey, Eddie, we're going to go out. And he was sitting on the edge of the bed playing guitar. And he goes, nah, I'm going to stay here and practice. Hours and hours later, they would come back and he hadn't moved. He was still sitting there practicing, fingers bleeding. And you think about that kind of commitment and desire. So you have the desire, but you also have this commitment and persistence. And so it's admirable. I'm sincerely impressed with you. I suggest anybody on any social, go find him, Silas Luke Jones. You'll be as impressed as obviously 30 million other people that have viewed this. And how many subscribers or followers would you
say? Well, on Instagram, I have 340,000.
What?
And it's overflowing into YouTube and Spotify. And eventually I'll get some more, you know, stuff out there so that people can.
I think people, you, Silas Luke Jones, and his name's escaping me for the minute, Richmond from Richmond or... you know the guy I'm talking about, Red Beard, Oliver Anthony.
Oliver
Anthony. Okay, took off, had a similar experience. And I think people are hungry for something new, but also very real. Mm-hmm. And you, obviously, you're doing a different kind of thing, but you both represent something that's really just real. And I really like that. And you deserve all the fame and success that is coming to you and coming to you quickly. You're listening to On Top of the World. When we return, Silas Luke Jones will perform here live in studio. Stick around, a lot more to come. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Time now for a very special live and in studio performance from the one and the only Silas Luke Jones. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much. That's the one and the only Silas Luke Jones. So I'm just so in awe of this. Going to give him a second to take off the guitar and sit back down in front of the microphone and have a little more conversation with Silas Luke Jones. What was that tune called?
So that was He's a Pirate. And it's my own arrangement of it. But it's also, it's from the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Okay.
But it's actually three songs. It's He's a Pirate, the Davy Jones theme, and the Black Pearl theme.
Oh,
and it's kind of, I just kind of mixed them together. And
I love it. Fun. I love it. So arrangement. Is it true? I was talking to Jim Anderson the other day, and I think he's been working with you a little bit on some performance stuff. Are you working on some vocals as well?
Yeah. well, working with Jim about like writing songs, performing songs. Mm-hmm. He's helped me get a song ready for performing for one of my benefit, you know, concerts that we did last year. Mm-hmm. And so...
So vocals are something you want to add to this. You have something to say.
Yeah, it's definitely something I want to do. I don't know. It's kind of hard to mix this style together, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure I could figure a way, or maybe just do something different and like keep them separate or mix them together. We'll see. But vocals is something that I've always loved. I love people who could sing. Words add so much to a song.
I will tell you this though. You're telling a story with your music. I was really just sitting here in awe and enjoying it and forgot for a second that you were just standing right. It was just like you took me somewhere else. It was really fantastic. So I can't wait to hear what you add to it with your vocals. Who do you listen to when you're not doing 15 minutes of schoolwork? Or maybe when you are doing 15 minutes of schoolwork.
Yeah, I listen to when I did schoolwork. Well, I mean, there's so much music I listen to. I listen to everything that inspires other people as well as myself. I listen to guitarists like Marcin Luka, you know, he talked Eddie Van Halen. I love listening to the, you know, really innovative people. But I also enjoy, I grew up on country music, so I love Johnny Cash, you know, Waylon Jennings. That's I love the storytelling and that. Mm-hmm. There's something to be taken from every piece of music, and mm-hmm. yeah.
Did you ever have a chance to sit in a Hobo Jim concert ever, one of his performances?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Just the storytelling. So he was a guitar player, and did some of the things that you're exhibiting there, and then would kind of slow it down and tell a story and everything. And I can see that in your future for sure. You play electric guitar too.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a lot to look out for, a lot coming, and I just wish you all the best. And I think the fact that you're so humble still after, do you know, if I had 300,000 followers right now, I don't know, they'd be like blinged out teeth and, no, I'm kidding, not quite, but still, you seem so down to earth, and obviously that comes from your family and your upbringing and who you are. You talked about your heart and soul, and any advice to somebody that, let's say that they're listening to this and going, oh man, kid 17 years old, I'll never be able to play like that. But maybe they've longed to play an instrument or do something. What advice would you give them?
It's really about just starting to do it, because if you wait till you're at a certain level to start trying to learn a new technique or learn something new, then you'll never get there, right? So a lot of my style has been looking at the hardest piece and trying to learn it. Mm-hmm. And usually I'll learn it the wrong way at first, and then I'll have to come back and fix it. But I learn so much in the process, right? It like kind of, it's fast, right? Usually you don't want to learn the hardest piece when you're a beginner, but if you learn it and you learn it right and you just go after it and be prepared, you know?
Just imagine if you hadn't waited till you were 10, you'd started at 8. Just think where you'd be.
I know, I would have, man, I had a million followers.
That should be the title of your book. I see a book coming. If only I'd started at 8.
Yeah.
Just think of where you'd be. Well, that's really cool. And if you were to, let's just, because I'm really keen, like it's like finding out, maybe it's a little bit like, we can't relate to this, but there used to be a thing called black and white television, and people couldn't wait for color. Like, what's it going to look like in color? What will Bonanza look like in color television? I'm just so anxious to hear, like, what do you sound like? What's going on in your head? Like, when you're thinking about writing a song and telling a story, what are you thinking about? Like, relationships or friends or the mountains or the wind? What are you thinking?
Man, a lot of times I'm just listening. It's about finding what you think sounds good and making that your voice, right? Because there's a lot of artists that I do follow that I love the sound of, but there's also things about their playing that I don't love exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's taking what you love about all these different artists and like making it your own voice, right? So it's a lot of inspiration from other people, but it's still my voice. And like,
are you keeping notes like with little rhymes in your head or little song, jotting down little things for lyrics?
Yeah, I have a like notes on my phone. That's the best way. And for music ideas, like for notes on my phone, I write down lyrics. But for music ideas, I record myself, and I have a bunch of like I have a photo album of just videos of me setting up my phone in my bedroom and just playing something that caught my ear, and then I'll come back to it later.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, I wish you nothing but the best. I know that I'm speaking for anybody that's heard you or met you. You deserve it. You're just a fantastic player, obviously, musician. What a great family, and what a great guy you are. So we're all looking forward, and we're all rooting for you, and looking forward to seeing what else you do. So Silas Luke Jones, one more time, here's a little clip. Are listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb. That was Silas Luke Jones, Homer's own. I think we should start saying Homer's own Silas Luke Jones. Remember when Jewel hit and she was singing at not the Super Bowl, but some national championship in San Diego, and they introduced her as San Diego's own. It's like, no, Jewel is Homer's own, and so is Silas Luke Jones. What a great guy. What a great family. I've known the family for a long, long time. And so it's not a surprise to me that the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Oh, speaking of musical talent, I didn't even mean to do that. Rhymes just drop from me like, I don't know, acorns from a tree. There it is again. Harvey McKay said, if I give you a dollar and you give me a dollar, we'll each have a dollar. If I give you an idea and you give me an idea, we'll each have two ideas. Well, million-dollar ideas come around every single day. Stick around, because we're going to talk about one that you might have in your near future, a million-dollar idea. Plus, coming up, the paradigm of the damned and why motivation doesn't last. It really doesn't. Hey, stick around. I'm Chris Story along with Mr. David Webb. We've got a lot more to come right here on Top of the World.